الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we have been talking about the types of love, and before that the deep love that the Hajj represents. And today we'll talk about the fruits of love. But before we get into that, I wanted to just alert everyone to just take a look at something Sayyidina Sheikh Muhammad Al-Yaqubi Hafizullah wrote in terms of, it's very important just to look at what he has written up regarding all disciplines. Actually, it's all, every science has 10 elements to them, 10 parts to them. So he's written them up on his Facebook page. If you look up his Facebook page, you'll find them there. And just briefly, I'll go over them. And every science, every discipline has the definition. And he's posted Hafizullah, the basics of Tasawwuf. That's the title. And so we have the definition, which he's written as the purification of the heart. And then you have the subject, as we know, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. This applies for us, for anything that we study. The subject is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because ultimately this is the only reason we are here, to know Him and to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have the fruits of that subject. We have the merit of that subject. You have its relation, the interrelation to other disciplines. You have the word itself, in this case, tasawwuf. It's derived from, as Sayyidina Sheikh wrote, from suf, wool, and there's other derivations also. But he's just written up a brief summary. And then you have the founder of the subject, or the pioneer. In this case, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who taught us tasawwuf. For instance, if we looked at nahu or grammar, let me say that it would be Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, who is the founder of that subject. We have the sources for each subject. Almost everything is from the Quran and Sunnah for us. And then you have the ruling, whether it's obligatory or it's optional and so on. And then you have what that subject tackles. So these 10 principles or elements are part and parcel of every single science that we study. So it's very important to know them. And as Sayyidina Sheikh Hafizullah has it up right now, I would alert everyone to look at that. Alhamdulillah. This is how the ulama break down things for us in baby steps, basically, because we can't digest all of this information in one sitting. It takes time. But when they take, and break it down for us like this, it becomes digestible for us, inshallah ta'ala, bitawfiq. So for today, we have been talking about, the last time we spoke about the various types of love, alaqa, irada, sababa, qaram, shagaf, and so on, ishq. But what I wanted to talk about, so all of those things that we mentioned, the types of love, that in our teacher, in our sheikh, that's the terrain wherein we get a taste. We get the zawq of every single aspect of those loves from our teacher. You may think, some of you may have thought that I would say that you would learn about that from your spouse, but that's not the case. Actually, it's a much higher love we're talking about. I mean, of course, some people do have that beautiful gift of having that, and you should taste it with your spouse, all those various types of love. But there are certain, obviously, the teacher aspect you can only get from your sheikh. So the sheikh is where we, our terrain for learning all of these variations, gradations, lamina of love. And this is why the more exposure we have, we get to taste these various aspects of love, inshallah ta'ala. So for instance, sometimes when the sheikh asks us to do something and we can't do it, that's a test of our love. And it just shows us who we are. Or all the different relations that come up. And then, of course, this is the train is so that we can perfect and chisel our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ultimately perfecting our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with each moment increasing in it. And then underneath that, so that's our ultimate goal, and it's a perpetual goal. But, and underneath that, our love, this terrain of love that we have for our sheikh, we also get for our brethren between each other. And it becomes very, very important. And this is why Sayyidina Sheikh Hafizullah says that where if there are gatherings of dhikr taking place, that it's incumbent on the murids to go to them. Because where else are you going to get those interactions? You're not going to find the cream of the crop practicing these aspects of love anywhere else in the world. We're talking about the highest forms of love implemented in the world. And this is what the Salaf meant when they said that if other people knew what was in their heart, this priceless love that they had for everyone, that they would kill for it. Because one who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be close to all of creation, such that minutia of life where other people, it brings them down, misunderstandings, miscommunication, which happens ad nauseum in our world, especially with the fast communication that we have, it becomes greatly incumbent to actually meet in person, because this virtual communication has a high propensity for miscommunication, which is maddening and ultimately breaks ties and misunderstandings, and it's a snowball effect. And I think all of us can randomly select any the last situation we have where someone misunderstood, or because the time is so fast-paced and communications are so fast-paced that we didn't have time to call back and correct something we might have said in a hurry. And we know in the back of our mind they probably misunderstood, but we just don't have time to call back. But then you don't know if that person is holding a grudge or is saying, why would they do that? Or you hope they wouldn't. For our part, we don't want to do that. So if that was from our perspective, if someone said something, you always assume the best. And this is where we apply the 70 excuse hadith. But if there is a misunderstanding, automatically assume the best and not worst. Because unfortunately, we do the opposite. We assume the worst as the first protocol when some misunderstanding occurs. Why? This is the first thought that occurs to us. How dare they say that? How dare they do that? They lied to me, and so on. All these things, thoughts occur in our mind. So if we have been practicing tasawwuf, this would not happen, inshallah ta'ala. This is the fruits of tasawwuf. When we practice all these things that Sayyidina Sheikh mentioned under what tasawwuf tackles, truthfulness, sincerity, wara, scrupulousness, being aware, having khushu, asceticism, love, and then their opposites, and then avoiding their opposites, insincerity, hypocrisy, arrogance, greed, so on. So this becomes incredibly important. All the mu'amalat, even in fiqh, this is why tasawwuf is followed, because majority of fiqh is the mu'amalat, the relations between each other. So how can we do this? How can we be at the best level in practicing this, having the best opinion of each other, if we're not working on it? So it takes practice, but once we start, then automatically, if such thoughts occur, we just fluff it aside, brush it aside, and it's a much more peaceful way to live. And this is how the awliya are able to go to bed having actually absolutely no ill will, harboring nothing against anyone. And this is why their hearts are so impacting when we're near them. We feel this, and they're exuding with this love. And this is why, at a much higher level, when they're interred in the earth, their bodies are not even touched. And this is proven when they would be buried. For instance, in Sheikh Ibrahim, Sayyidina Sheikh Hafidullah's father's case, when he buried his second wife, Ahmadullah Alayha, it was next to his father, and his body was still intact, and there are witnesses to that. Rahimullah. So this is the level we want to attain or aspire to attain, inshallah ta'ala, and this is the fruits of what we get from practicing tasawwuf, inshallah. So I wanted to take a look, because I don't get the time, I haven't mentioned at all much regarding my book besides the health aspects, but I wanted to read an excerpt of a poem, which is actually written for one of the brethren. And it's from the fruits of Sayyidina Sheikh's love, Hafidullah, and which just falls matter-of-factly, because his love is so teeming that it falls on all of us, and then it just spreads to each other. And this is just from the gifts from Sayyidina Sheikh falling on me and others, all of us. And so this poem that I had written, which is in my current book, Mental Illness, which is available at mentalillness.net. I haven't mentioned it on these podcasts, but it's being mentioned in the non-Muslim circles because they've been asking me to mention it in the health awareness community. But anyway, I haven't spoken to many of you about the tasawwuf aspects of my book, but there are certain aspects of my life that I've mentioned in there so that people get a taste of tasawwuf, and my upcoming books will have more of that, inshallah ta'ala. This one was much more about just getting everyone to a healthy level, but there certainly are a lot of tasawwuf aspects in this book, which I haven't discussed publicly, but those of you who have read it, you know about it. So I want to read the poem that I had written so you have an idea of what I'm talking about in terms of this love. So, because ultimately, we want to taste the fruits of what we're studying, and we want to apply them in our life, inshallah ta'ala. So this was written, and it, in terms of the content, it's because a lot of what I was going through the last 3 years, particularly a couple of years before the last year, 2008-2009, not so much 2010 and 11, but 2008 and 2009 were very, very, I still have not mentioned it to anyone except this one family that knew what I was going through. A lot of it, even my husband didn't know what I was going through, because it was just so excruciating. And even in that time frame, there is so much that has changed in the world. People in that time did not know how much of a damage vaccines were causing. So I couldn't share it with anyone. No one would have believed me. Believe it or not, if I said this just 3 years ago, and this is why I didn't write it then, I know it would have been shunned. That's how much our world has changed. Now it's there's many in the health community talking about vaccine injuries and environmental illness and all these other things. But back then, it was not so much understood yet. It was just starting to. So anyway, as these various symptoms were happening to my eldest son, and then also with my other two children, I didn't really have anyone to share it with. I didn't know it was actually from the vaccines at that time, but they were going through excruciatingly unbelievable physical symptoms, and that no doctor knew what was going on. Alhamdulillah, everyone is better now. But so this poem was written for that family that knew little bits and pieces, but no one else knew. So to give you an idea how important tasawwuf is in our life and how much it is a springboard for us, and how it keeps us aloft. So, let me just start here. Your heart is a springboard for lovers of Sheikh Al-Akbar. Though some may be drawn to you by your wit or what you wear, or perhaps they see someone classy and debonair. But that is all a veil covering your most delicate part. You were nurtured by a mother who planted secrets in your heart. Proof of pure love is to say, I have no reason. If not, then to say, maybe it is the season. That night we stood alone in the alley, was a meeting that in my dreams did persist. For the many months prior to this tryst, to your mother and to you, I knew I did owe an embrace from my heart, for you did implore, my Lord, to intervene in the case of my son, to greet and give thanks is how this is done. One may forget with those he did laugh, but not he who stood by when the heart was searing, not a soul around as if the world was clearing. Many weeks passed in this thick forest, running hither and thither, cradling my oldest. Allah always sends help through some means. For me, it was through Rukn al-Din. I didn't use footnotes here, but Rukn al-Din, as many of you know, is where Sheikh al-Akbar, radiallahu anhu, is buried. And this family are great lovers of Sheikh al-Akbar, radiallahu anhu. A place where you and I have been. I had the great fortune, as you know, of being in Syria and visited Sheikh al-Akbar radiallahu anhu many times, and so has his family. So you can continue to hurl your outbursts. They seem to do nothing but bring forth. This is just about the fact that all great lovers don't like to be mentioned too often or to be credited for their love. So whenever I would mention my gratitude, they don't like to hear it about it. They seem to do nothing but bring forth ever more inclinations in my heart. Even though your arrows are meant to thwart, more proofs come of the inexplicable ways, how it is that qalb means to sway. We think we know, and as you know, qalb means to turn, which is the heart in the Arabic word. We think we know what Rumi meant, Rahimallah, but all we have are ruminations about the churning of love and its gradations. Every true lover is on the defense from a world stricken with pretense. As we know, again, I'm just doing the footnote part here because I don't like, as I mentioned in my books, I don't like footnotes because I doubt most people read them. So this is another reason why we need to hear the explanations from the author or from the isnad. My kids were joking, you're going to have to give an isnad for your book. Anyway, or start the isnad, I should say, in teaching it. So as we know, every traditional poet has to address this, of the fact that they will be blamed for their love, because not everyone understands. The vast majority of the world will not understand a pristine love. Of course, they understand the kind of mad love between male and female, you know, that the spouses, husband and wife. But we're talking about a pristine love, as I said, that's born out of our love for our Shaykh, Hafizullah. As Imam Busayri says, Ya la'ini fil hawal udhri ma'adhiratan, excuse me for this love. Because he knows that the vast majority of the readership are not going to understand this love. So we think we know what Rumi meant, but all we have are ruminations about the churning of love and its gradations. Every true lover is on the defense from a world stricken with pretense. I promised you last year this lore, your quivers at my heart just brought it to fore. Our meeting was set in Mina. I happened to have met this family for the first time in Mina 6 years ago when we did the Hajj with Sheikh Muhammad Hafizullah, actually. Do they not say this is the mating of souls that knew each other of old, uniting again on this earthly plane and perhaps plotting next on that skein on which we hope to cross into his arms, finally safe from all danger and harm. Of course, here I'm referring to the Sirat, the bridge will cross over Jahannam, inshallah, quickly and swiftly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to fly over that bridge. This is written for those who know and those who not. But if you cannot relate to this kind of relation, I feel sorry for your situation, as you have not tasted the true sweetness of adulation that requires no kiss nor caress. No matter what subject or topic under the sun, it is love that is the umbrella when all is said and done. If you still blame me, then I will send you elsewhere. Ask Sheikh Al-Akbar for my elixir. So that's, and those of you who have the book already know that there's some other poems, there's some treats in there. There's a poem from Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, Hafizullah, who wrote a poem to Sayyidina Sheikh, and he had given me the permission to print that over 10 years ago. So I finally did that in my book. Well, alhamdulillah. So you'll get that treat. Those of you who've come to towards the end of the book, it's toward all the good things are towards the end of the book. That wasn't done to just dangle the carrot in front of you, but just because I wanted to get the tough things out of the way first, which was getting people aware of the world and what is going on in the world, so that we can get to this level of ethereal sublimity ultimately. And so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to attain these sweetnesses that Sayyidina Shaykh of Idullah and all of our teachers of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are trying so hard to pass on to us. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa ma huwa ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa ma huwa ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa ma huwa ahlu. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة